نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديثنا اليوم عن موضوع هام جدا في حياة المسلم، ألا وهو الثبات على الإيمان والثبات على الإسلام والثبات على السنة. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ويضل الله الظالمين، ويفعل الله ما يشاء. نعم، إن الثبات على الإسلام نعمة عظيمة على المسلم، امتن الله تبارك وتعالى على المسلم بها. وينبغي حتى نعرف ما قيمة الثبات وما منزلة الثبات على الإسلام، أن نعرف أن الثبات نعمة، وأنه غرس إذا سقي بوسائله ثبت وازداد ثباتا، وأن الإسلام ودعاة الإسلام باقون رغم كيد أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى لهم. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول مبينا أن الإسلام نعمة: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فالإسلام نعمة من الله تبارك وتعالى، والنعمة كما تعلمون نعمتان: نعمة دنيوية ونعمة دينية، وخير النعم النعم الدينية. فالله تبارك وتعالى ينعم على عباده، على كافرهم ومؤمنهم، على برهم وفاجرهم، على شقيهم وسعيدهم بالدنيا. وهذه النعمة التي يتمتع بها العباد، فهو يرزقهم، وهو خلقهم، وهو يعطيهم وسائل التمتع في هذه الدنيا. لكن المؤمن يتمتع بهذه الأشياء على منهج الله، والكافر يتمتع بهذه الأشياء على منهج الشيطان. وأما الدين وأما الإسلام فهو نعمة أيضا، نعمة عظيمة، يختص الله بها من يشاء، يختص الله بها من يشاء. ولذلك فإن ربنا يقول تبارك وتعالى: ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. أي من يختار هذا المنهج فهو في الآخرة يتبوأ أرفع المنازل وأعلى الدرجات مع النبيين، مع الصديقين، مع الشهداء، مع الصالحين. أين هم؟ في جنات الخلد. من جارهم؟ في جوار الله تبارك وتعالى. إن المتقين في جنات ونهر، في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. فهم في جوار الله تبارك وتعالى في الآخرة، لأنهم ساروا على منهج الله تبارك وتعالى.
The Sheikh went on to begin by reciting Khutbat al-Hajjah, and then after that he said that no doubt today's talk or today's lecture is a lecture that is extremely important in the life of the Muslim, and the name of the lecture is being firmly established on al-Islam, and being firmly established on the Sunnah, and being firmly established on an iman. The Sheikh went on to say that this establishment comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has said in the Quran, in one of the ayats, of the many ayats of the Quran, verily Allah establishes those who believe with a good word in the hayat al-dunya, in this life. And those who are disbelievers will have a tremendous punishment. So the Shaykh went on to say that this ayat clearly shows us that the establishment or the firmness that we're looking for comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is in fact a ni'mah from Allah upon the Muslim. And he went on to say that in order for us to know about this ni'mah and for us to give it its proper place in al-Islam, we need to understand a few issues. One of those issues is that this thabat, or being established on al-Islam, is something that can increase according to the efforts that the Muslim is making. And that the du'at, or the people who are calling to this Islam and this correct da'wah and minhaj, they are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after establishing them, is going to cause them to be increased in their belief. And so al-Islam has come, and it has explained to us about this ni'mah, or this favor that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us in establishing us on al-Islam, when Allah said in the Quran, today I have completed for you your religion, and I have completed for you this ni'mah. I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you al-Islam as a religion. Sheikh went on to say that this is a true ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that He has completed the ni'mah on us, or His favors upon us, as He has described it in this ayah. And he said, as you all know, the ni'mah in al-Islam is of two types. The first type of favor that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the favors that are connected with the dunya, the ni'mah dunyawiyah. And the second type of favor or ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon the servant is the ni'mah diniyah, or those favors which Allah bestows upon His abd as it relates to His religion. And the Shaykh went on to say that this ni'mah is the ni'mah that has to be considered to be the greatest ni'mah. He went on to say that Allah ta'ala, as far as the ni'mah dunyawiyah is concerned, He has given this dunya to many of His servants. Whether they are Muslims, whether they are kuffar, whether they are obedient, whether they are disobedient, it doesn't make a difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what He has done is He has not discriminated against any of His servants when it comes to the ni'mah of the dunya. He gives it freely as He chooses, in terms of His sustenance or the rizq that He has given, in terms of the fact that He is the one who has created them when He didn't have to create them. He gives to them whatever they need in this dunya. He said, but in fact it is the mu'min who is the one who uses what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him in His favors according to the minhaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the kuffar who use the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the minhaj of ash-shaytan. So the Shaykh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this favor to all of His servants, as Allah has said in so many ayats of the Quran. But the greatest ni'mah, the ni'mah that's given to the believer in the deen, is only for him, as Allah said in the Quran, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with the Prophet and the truthful ones, and the ones who are shuhada, the ones who bear witness or die shaheed. And what a good fraternity this is.
والإنسان يا أحبائي لا قيمة له إلا بهذا الدين، لا حياة له حقيقية إلا بالإسلام. فالإنسان لا يعرف حقيقة وجوده إلا بالإسلام، لا يعرف مقصد خلقه إلا بالإسلام، لا يعرف دوره الذي ارتضاه الله له إلا بالإسلام. فالإسلام يعطيك حقيقة وجودك وغاية وجودك ودورك في هذا الوجود، ومن لم يعرف الإنسان ضاعت عنه هذه الأشياء. الإنسان يا أحبائي لا قيمة له إلا أن يتحرر من عبودية العباد
إلى عبودية رب العباد. الإنسان يا أحبائي إذا فقد هذه النعم التي أنعمها الله عليه يصبح كالأنعام السائمة، بل هو أضل من الحيوانات. انظروا إلى قول الله تبارك وتعالى وهو يصف الذين أخلدوا إلى هواهم، إلى الذين اتبعوا أهواءهم، إلى الذين انحرفوا عن دين الله تبارك وتعالى. يقول الله تعالى: أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون إنهم كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا. نعم، هم أضل سبيلا من الحيوانات. هذه الحقيقة لو تكلمنا عنها في بلاد المسلمين في المشرق لاستغربوا كيف يشبه الإنسان بالحيوان، بل كيف يكون الإنسان أحط منزلة من الحيوان. ولكنكم في هذه الديار ترونهم إنهم أحط من الحيوانات، إنهم أحط من الأنعام، بل والله إن الأنعام وإن الحيوانات لهي أفضل منهم. ولذلك شبه الله تبارك وتعالى الذي يعرف هذا المنهج وينحرف عنه كالحمار، كما شبه اليهود مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا، وشبه الذي آتاه الله آياته فانسلق عنها شبهه بالكلب، فمثله كمثل الكلب إن تحمل عليه يلهث وإن تتركه يلهث. لماذا؟ لأن الحيوانات تعرف غاية وجودها بما فطرها الله عليه. ولكن هذا الإنسان أخص منزلة من هذه الحيوانات لأنه لا يعرف غاية وجوده ولا يعرف دوره ولا يعرف لماذا خلق الله، فضاع على مفترق الشهوات، فإذا هو كالأنعام بل هو أضل منها سبيلا.
الشيخ went on to say that without the religion there is no use for the human being to be alive without his religion. For a person to live without his deen, then in fact he is not really getting the benefits of life. The true life and the true existence is the life and existence that is coupled with the religion. Because if a person does not know why he has been placed in this earth, he's going to be lost. And it is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Islam, that has explained to the people in no uncertain terms why they have been placed in this earth. And it is the religion of al-Islam that has explained to the people what is his responsibility, why he has been placed in this earth. So the person needs to know the reality of why he's here. And he needs to know the reason that he's here. And he needs to know the reason that he has been placed here and what is actually required of him why he's here. And that, no doubt, as the Shaykh said, is for him to make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the ubudiyah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and not the ibadah of the ibad. That he does not worship the human beings and what human beings have created for him. The Shaykh went on to say that the people of battles, but instead he went on to emphasize they are worse and further astray than the cattle. He said, because when we look to the Quran, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, who has created them and who knows them better than they know themselves, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran, do you not see the one who has taken his desires as his God? Verily you have been not made as a wakil over him, O Muhammad. You have not been made a person who is responsible for him to be guided and to do right. Do you think that they're going to listen to what you have to say? Verily, they are like the cattle, but instead they are worse astray than the cattle, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. The Shaykh went on to say that if you were to go to the Muslim countries in the East, and you were to tell the Muslim people over there, listen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the people as animals. It may be that in some Muslim countries, because Islam is still present and they're still good in the people, that they may find it strange and difficult to conceive and to conceptualize that there are people who are actually like animals. He said, but you people coming from this part of the world and living here, where you are living, you can see very clearly the wisdom of this ayah and the truthfulness of this ayah. And it is not in any shape, form, or fashion strange to you. The Shaykh went on to say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has described the Jews as being like animals, when he said in the Quran, verily the example of those who have been made responsible to carry the Torah and to practice the Torah and to call to the Torah, meaning the Jews, verily their example is like a jackass or a mule who carries books on his back. What a bad example that is to be. And he said, look at the other man in the Quran who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him his signs. Allah gave this man his signs and this man left the signs of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this man, verily his example is like the example of the dog. If you bother him, he'll pant with his tongue out. And if you leave him alone, he'll continue to pant with his tongue out. Either way, his situation is the same. The Shaykh went on to say, because the animals, ikhwan, they do not know the reason why they've been created. They have just been placed here, but they don't know why they are here. So therefore, when the human being loses sight of this reality, he becomes like them or worse than them.
وهذا الثبات على الدين مثله كمثل الشجرة. إذا اهتم بها الإنسان وإذا اعتنى بها الإنسان أثمرت ثمرا طيبة، وإن تركها الإنسان ولم يعتني بها الإنسان أثمرت ثمرا خبيثا أو يبست، لأن البلد الطيب والمكان الطيب ينتج ثمرا طيبا، والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه، أي يخرج نباته طيبا بإذن ربه، والذي خبث أي المكان الذي خبث والبلد الذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا، أي نباتا خبيثا. ولذلك فالله تبارك وتعالى شبه الإيمان، شبه الإسلام بالشجرة. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ألم ترى كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي كلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. هذه الكلمة الطيبة هي الإسلام. فينبغي عليك أن تعرف أو تعلم الأمور التالية: أن هذه الشجرة لها أوراق ولها عروق ولها فروع ولها ثمر. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة، فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة، أي شجرة لها فروع كثيرة تبلغ بضع وسبعون غصنا شعبة. أفضل هذه الشعب وأعلاها وأصلها قول لا إله إلا الله، توحيد الله. هذا التوحيد يثمر أعمالا صالحة، ولذلك ربط الله تبارك وتعالى دائما بين الإيمان وبين العمل الصالح. إيمان صحيح، إيمان حقيقي يثمر عملا صالحا، يثمر قولا طيبا، كما أن الشجرة الطيبة تثمر ثمرا طيبا. إذن هناك توحيد، هناك أعمال صالحة، هناك دوافع للأعمال الصالحة، دوافع لهذه السلوك، كما يقول علماء النفس الذين يسمونهم علماء النفس لكل سلوك دافع، أي كل سلوك له دافع. ما الدافع للإيمان والعمل الصالح؟ هو الحياء من الله تبارك. إذن ذكر الأصل ذكر الفرع وذكر الدافع لهما. أمر آخر أن هذه الشجرة حتى تبقى حية لا بد أن نعتني بها، لا بد أن نسقيها بالماء، لا بد أن نقلمها لكي تنمو. ولذلك الإنسان دائما يطلب الهداية من الله، كل يوم 17 مرة في الصلاة في الفريضة: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فهو دائم يتعاهد نفسه، يجدد إيمانه. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص: إن الإيمان لا يخلق في جوف أحدكم كما يخلق الثوب، فاسأل الله أن يجدد إيمانكم، فاسأل الله أن يجدد إيمانكم. نعم يا أحبائي، يجب أن يجدد الإنسان منا إيمانه. وإذا خاطبنا الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا، هو يخاطبنا بالمؤمنين، ولكن لماذا يقول لنا آمنوا؟ ألم نؤمن؟ بلى، ولكن جددوا إيمانكم وتحسسوا إسلامكم، وليكن الإنسان منكم على يقظة ولا يغتر فإن القلب يتقلب. لذلك كان من دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك، يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك، ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا منك من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
The Sheikh went on to say concerning this Islam and this Iman that the example of the Iman in al-Islam is like the example of a tree. And just like the tree, if one of us assumes responsibility for the welfare of this tree, we have to pay attention to the tree. And we have to take time out to give the tree the things that it needs in order to grow. Because if that was going to happen, if the tree was going to give the fruitation that was beneficial, it's not going to take place except if there's going to be someone who's going to take responsibility for the development and the growth of this tree. Keeping in mind that this tree, again, is like Iman. And if a person was to leave this tree, not pay attention to it, then obviously what's going to happen is that the tree is going to send forth the fruitation that is not beneficial, if any fruitation at all, because it may wind up being a tree that becomes dry and it doesn't give anything. He went on to say, all of you will be in agreement to the fact that if you have a good place and you have good land and soil that is palatable for this tree, obviously the fruit from which that from this soil is going to come out good. And opposite, if you have a place where it is not good to plant in that soil, then it necessitates that the fruit that's going to come from that place is not going to be good. So the Shaykh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has clearly given us this example when he said, verily Allah gives to you an example, the example of a good tree. Its origin is firmly established in the ground, and its leaves or its branches go out towards the sky. It gives to everyone who is taken from it its fruit and vegetation and benefit. The Shaykh went on to say that this tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and he's given it the similitude, this is al-Islam. And just as this tree has its branches and its roots and its trunk, and it has
these other parts that are connected to it. Likewise, Al-Islam has its branches and its roots and its parts that are connected to it that need to be taken care of. And the proof of that is the authentic hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Iman is 70 branches. The highest branch is saying La ilaha illallah, and the lowest branch of faith is taking something harmful from out of the pathway. And shyness is a branch of Al-Iman. The Shaykh went on to say, you see, Ikhwan, that this Iman is similar to this tree. It has different levels to it and different branches. As we can see in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 70 branches. The highest branch of the tree of Iman is the branch of At-Tawheed. For a person to say La ilaha illallah and to understand it and to work by it. Because verily this Tawheed, it is the thing that causes a person to do good deeds. The Shaykh went on to say that this Iman, no doubt, is the thing that gives a person the desire to do good deeds. And the proof of that is that in so many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected and mentioned in the same verse at the same time, Iman and good deeds in so many ayahs. So that in and of itself is a clear proof for us to recognize that it is Iman that causes a person to have the desire to eventually do the good deed. He went on to say that every single good deed has some type of behavior that is behind it that causes a person to actually do it. As the scholars of the psychologists say today, many of the psychologists, they have a principle in which they say that every single action or behavior of a person is as a result of some other action that is within that person. So the Shaykh went on to say, in this case, al-haya or shyness is one of those things that causes a person to have or to do good deeds. The Shaykh went on to say, so therefore, Ikhwan, in the tree of Iman, we need to take time out to water this tree. And we need to take time out to cut off of this tree of Iman those weeds and those other things that are growing on it that shouldn't be there and is going to ultimately lead to the detriment of the tree. He went on to say, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His religion has legislated for us to continuously ask for hidayah or guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, at least 5 times every day when we're making salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim, the path of those who Allah is pleased with, and not the path of those who Allah is angry with, and those who have gone astray. This ayat clearly shows us in asking for the hidayah that we are in fact taking care of the tree of al-Iman. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the Iman of one of you people, or the Iman of every single one of you, the Iman of the person wears out just as his soul becomes worn out. So therefore ask Allah to renew your Iman. And then we look in the Quran, Ikhwan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ayahs in the Quran, He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala didn't say, O you mu'minun. Allah didn't say that. He said the reason for that is when Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, it implies linguistically that you are in a continuous motion of renewing your Iman. Whereas if he was to address you, Ya ayyuhal ladhina mu'minun, as a mu'minun, it means that you have complete your Iman and you do not need this renewal. So therefore, Ikhwan, the Prophet takes time out to water this tree. And we need to take time out to cut off of this tree of Iman those weeds and those other things that are growing on it that shouldn't be there and is going to ultimately lead to the detriment of the tree. He went on to say, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His religion has legislated for us to continuously ask for hidayah or guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, at least 5 times every day when we're making salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim, the path of those who Allah is pleased with, and not the path of those who Allah is angry with, and those who have gone astray. This ayat clearly shows us in asking for the hidayah that we are in fact taking care of the tree of al-Iman. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Az radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, the Iman of one of you people, or the Iman of every single one of you, the Iman of the person wears out just as his soul becomes worn out. So therefore, ask Allah to renew your Iman." And then we look in the Quran, ikhwan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ayahs in the Quran, He said, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, "O you mu'minun." Allah didn't say that. He said the reason for that is when Allah says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu," it implies linguistically that you are in a continuous motion of renewing your Iman. Whereas if he was to address you, "Ya ayyuha alladhina mu'minun," as in mu'minun, it means that you complete your Iman and you do not need this renewal. So therefore, ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in applying this principle that the Shaykh is talking about, he used to make the dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When he used to make sajdah, he used to say, "Oh, the one who establishes the heart, establish my heart firmly upon your deen. Oh Allah, the one who establishes the heart, establish my heart firmly upon your deen." And Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to say in the Quran, "Oh our Lord, do not cause us to go astray. After you have guided us, verily you are the one who gives."
الأمر الثالث هو أن غراس هذا الدين سيبقون رغم محاولات أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى أن يقتلعوها، وهذا الدين سيتم بعون الله وبإذنه، ولو كره الكافرون ولو كره المشركون الذين يحاولون أن يطمسوا معالم هذا الدين، يحاولون أن يطفئوا نور الله، يحاولون أن يشوهوا دون الله تبارك وتعالى. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مبشرا أتباع سنته، مبشرا السائرين على منهج صحابته، مبشرا الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة، مبشرا السلفيون أهل الحديث. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: "لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا، لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا، يستعمله في طاعته إلى يوم القيامة." نعم يا أخواني، لا يزال الله يغرس لهذا الدين غرسا. ومن الطرائف العلمية التي وقفت عليها فائدة ذكرها ابن أبي يعلى رحمه الله في طبقات الحنابلة في الجزء الأول صفحة 190، مفسرا هذا الحديث ناقلا عن إمام أهل السنة، قال عن نعيم بن طريف عن أحمد بن حنبل في تفسير حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: "لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا، قال هم أصحاب الحديث."
The Shaykh went on to say that the third point that he wants to discuss with you, insha'Allah ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect this religion in spite of what people are trying to do against the deen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to complete his deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect his deen. He's going to establish it firmly in spite of what the enemies of his deen may have to say or what they try to do. In spite of what the disbelievers do, in spite of what the polytheists do. The Shaykh went on to say that these people try to extinguish the light of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by blowing it out with their mouth, and never will they be successful, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has clearly established in the authentic hadith when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cease to establish for his religion those things that are going to be used to obey him until Yawmul Qiyamah. So this hadith, ikhwan, is good glad tidings given to the people who are from the Firqat al-Najiyah. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is good news given to the people who are Salafiyin from Ahl hadith. For the people who want to take the minhaj of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala according to the way of the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala alayhi. The Shaykh said that in his studies as a student of knowledge, one of the good things or the benefits that he has found in his studies is what Ibn Abi Ya'la has written in his book, that famous book that's called Tabaqat al-Hanabila, in which he tells about the people who are of the Hanbali madhab. He gives a little small biography of all of the people who attribute themselves to this madhab. The Shaykh went on to say that you can find in this book by Ibn Abi Ya'la on page 190, in book number 1, in the first book, page 190, the statement of Al-Imam Ahmad on the authority of Na'im Ibn Turayf, who said that he heard Al-Imam Ahmad was the Imam of Ahl Sunnah. He said that Al-Imam Ahmad said concerning this hadith that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will not cease to plant a group of people who will be used for the obedience of Allah. He said, Al-Imam Ahmad said, the meaning of those people are Ashabul Hadith, the people of hadith.
وهذا الأمر وهذه الحقيقة تعطينا قوة في الثبات على منهجنا، تعطينا قوة في الثبات على الدين، تعطينا قوة في الثبات على الإسلام، لأن هذا المنهج يا أخواني، أعني منهج الحق، منهج أهل الحديث، المنهج السلفي، هو الذي يغيظ به الله الكفار، هو الذي يغيظ به الله أهل البدع، هو الذي يغيظ به الله سبحانه وتعالى أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى، لأن بقاء هذا المنهج وصف لازم للفرقة الناجية لأنهم يغيظون الكفار. يصف الله تبارك وتعالى أصحاب محمد ومن سار على نهج أصحاب محمد بمثل عظيم في الإنجيل، ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. نعم، لا بد أن يغيظ هذا المنهج الكفار، ولا بد أن يغيظ أهل البدع، ولا بد أن يغيظ أهل الأهواء، ولن يستطيعوا أن يقتلعوا أو يلبسوا على أتباعه ولو اجتمعوا له، ولو أنفقوا أموالهم، ولو جيشوا جموعهم على أن يقتلعوا هذا المنهج أو أن يطمسوا معالمه، لا يستطيعون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
The Shaykh went on to say that, Ikhwan, this previous hadith, Ashabul Hadith, are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to use so that he can be worshipped and obeyed. He said that the understanding of this hadith should give us honor and it should give us power. It should allow us to realize that we have to be firmly established on our deen. We realize that it's talking about the people who want to follow the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It should firmly establish us on al-Islam, and it should firmly establish us on the minhaj that is the truth. The Shaykh went on to say, because when we are actually understanding these principles, then it becomes clear that the people on the proper minhaj, they are the people who are against the kuffar, and they are the people who are against the people of bid'ah and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to this hadith, they are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in order to make what is called yughidhu. Allah is actually using them to make the kuffar, the people of bid'ah, upset and afraid. He said, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Messenger of Allah's companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an. When he told us in the Qur'an about this ayat that he revealed in the Injil to the Christians, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, and the example in the Injil is that they are like a small seed that begins, and then that small seed begins to spread out and it becomes strong, and then it begins to stand up on its own stem by itself. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala with them will make harm and hurt the kuffar. The Shaykh went on to say that this is a tremendous description given to the Sahabas and the people who are following their way. And he said it necessitates that anyone who is on this proper minhaj, If they are really on this proper thing, then what's going to happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this ayah or this hadith of the Prophet has said, he is going to be used as a utensil against the kuffar. And he's going to be used as a utensil against the enemies of Allah, the people who create and innovate bid'ah and innovation in the religion of Allah. In spite of the fact that these people try whatever they want to try, they cannot change this principle. Even though they spend a lot of money in their efforts, and even though they try to make a lot of tricks against their followers, so that their followers won't realize what they're doing, or against the people of the truth, they will be defeated according to this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and according to the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, He, Allah, is the one who has sent His Messenger with the truth and the religion, with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may proclaim it over all other religions, even though the polytheists or the mushrikun may be tested.
ولا نتناول الأسباب التي شرعها الله تبارك وتعالى وبينها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فمن تعاطاها بإخلاص واتباع أثمرت عنده الثبات على الدين، وأثمرت عنده عدم الزيغ والانحراف، وأثمرت عنده الثبات على السنة والعطف عليها بالنواجذ عند الافتراق وعند الاختلاف، فهو ثابت ولو فر الناس، وهو ثابت ولو فر الناس، وهو متيقن ولو شك الناس، وهو على بينة من ربه وإن ابتد الناس. هذه الأسباب، أولها أن ينصر الإنسان المسلم دين ربه، فمن نصر الله نصره، ومن حفظ الله حفظه، ومن حفظ الله كان الله عونا له. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى: ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. ويقول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث ابن عباس الصحيح: يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، أي تجده عونا لك في كل لحظة من لحظات حياتك.
The Sheikh went on to say that after this ikhwan, he will now discuss some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us to get this thabat on our deen, or to become firmly established in our deen. Also, he's going to explain along with that some of the ways in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us some of the ways in which we can get this from this establishment on the deen. He said, so therefore, for every one of you who is sitting here, if you were to have an ikhlas or sincerity, and you were to follow what he's about to say, inshaAllah ta'ala, you will become established on the deen, and you will be protected from going astray and from becoming a deviant from the people who are lost. The Shaykh went on to say that if you were to do this, then you will be firmly established upon the Sunnah, holding on to it with your molars. And you will be able to do this at the time of fitna, when everyone else is in a confused state and everyone else is having problems. You will be established even though the people will be divided and running amok. You will be established even though the people do not know what's up and what's down. The Shaykh went on to say that the very first thing that you have to do if you want to be established on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that each and every person must realize the need to help the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he should make the nasr of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily the Shaykh said, whoever helps Allah Allah will help him. And whoever protects Allah, Allah will protect him. And Allah will be in his corner to help him. The Shaykh went on to recite two ayats from the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first ayat is the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, verily Allah will help those who help him. And Allah is Qawi Aziz. Allah is Almighty and Allah is Aziz. And then the next ayat, the Shaykh said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said to us, if you people help Allah, Allah will help you. And He will establish your feet firmly on the religion. If you help Allah, Allah will help you, and He will give you thabat. Then the Shaykh went on to explain to us, or recite unto us, the authentic hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, O young man, verily I'm going to teach you a few words that you should pay attention to. O young man, verily I'm going to teach you a few words that you should pay attention to. Protect Allah, and Allah will protect you. Protect Allah, and you will find Allah in front of you. And if you ask, do not ask from anyone except Allah. And if you seek assistance, then do not seek assistance except in Allah.
الأمر الثاني الإنفاق في سبيل الله. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى ومثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم ابتغاء مرضات الله وتثبيتا من أنفسهم. هنا يبين الله تبارك وتعالى أن من سخر نفسه وأنفق ماله وبذل جهده في سبيل الله تبارك وتعالى ازداد تمسكا بالدين وازداد تضحية لهذا الدين، لأنه لا ينفق إلا على شيء نفيس ولا يبذل نفسه إلا لشيء غالب. ولذلك فإن الله تبارك وتعالى اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم، عقد صفقة مع أتباع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. من المشتري؟ الله. من البائع؟ المؤمنين. من البائع؟ المؤمنون. ما الثمن؟ الجنة. ما مهرها؟ النفس والنفيس، النفس والمال. ولذلك فإن الإنسان لا ينفق نفسه ولا ينفق ماله إلا على شيء عظيم في نظره، إلا على شيء غال في حياته، إلا على شيء يستحق أن يفدى بالمال والنفس، ألا وهو دين الله تبارك وتعالى.
The Shaykh went on to say that the second thing, if the person wants to have establishment in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the second thing that he should do is he should spend freely in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should spend from his money in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah said in the Quran, verily the example of those who spend in the cause of Allah, seeking the faith and the pleasure of Allah, and seeking to become established in the deen. Verily the example of those who spend in the cause of Allah from their money, seeking the faith of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, and seeking to be firmly established in the deen. The Shaykh went on to say this ayat clearly shows us that the people who spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this spending in it is a tasbih, or the person has the opportunity to become firmly established. And the reason for that is that, as you all will recognize and agree with, the person's nafs, his person, as well as his money, are valuable to him and extremely important to him. And he's not going to spend it on anything that he doesn't deem it worthwhile. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their money, because their lives and their properties are the most important things to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in one of the ayats of the Quran, Verily Allah has purchased from the believers their monies and their wealth, because they fight in the cause of Allah. They fight and they are killed, and their reward will be paradise. The Shaykh went on to say, this is clear, Ikhwan, that the reward that the person gets for fighting in the cause of Allah and thus spending his wealth and his nafs in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his reward is going to be the Jannah, because he has made the ultimate sacrifice and that he has given those two things that he loves, his money and his nafs. So because these things are expensive to him and important to him, he realizes that he's not going to spend it on anything that's not important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him a tremendous reward.
والأمر الثالث الدعاء. الدعاء أمره عظيم، أمره عظيم، ولا يعرف قيمة الدعاء إلا من وجد لذة الدعاء بأن يثبته وأن يفرغ عليه صبرا. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا عن المؤمنين: ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. إنهم يستعينون بالله، لأن مثبت الأقدام هو الله، مثبت القلوب هو الله. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا: ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين. نعم، الدعاء يا أخواني له منزلة عظيمة، بل هو العبادة، بل هو محض العبادة، كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء هو العبادة. ثم تلا قوله تعالى: إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. والله تبارك وتعالى يغضب إن تركت سؤاله، يغضب إن تركت دعاءه، لأنه أمرك بالدعاء ووعدك بالاستجابة، وقال: ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، وإذا سألك عني عبادي فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني. نعم، الدعاء يعني أنك دائم مرتبط مع الله، موصول القلب مع الله، لا يغفل قلبك لحظة عن الله. فمن أحب شيئا ذكره، ومن أحب شيئا بالغ في ذكره، ومن أحب الله دعا الله، ومن دعا الله استجاب له الله، ومن استجاب له الله ثبت قلبه على دينه.
The Shaykh went on to say that the third thing that we can do in order to become firmly established upon this deen is that we make the dua or supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the dua is extremely important, and most people do not know its qima or its position in the religion except the one who has given himself to it. So therefore the believer is required to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this sabat or to be established, and the believer is required to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sabr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in one of the ayats of the Quran, in the dua of the believers, and that they say, O our Lord, send down for us or upon us patience, and establish our feet firmly, and help us against the kuffar, help us against the ones who disbelieve. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in another ayat of the Quran, and how many were there from the people who fought along with the prophets, and they used to fight. And when they used to fight, they did not become faint-hearted, nor did they lose hope, nor did they turn away. But they said, verily, Allah loves those who are patient. And then they made the dua, and they said, O our Lord, forgive us our sins, and establish our feet firmly, and help us against the people who are disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verily helps those who are patient and who are steadfast. The Shaykh went on to say also This is proven by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a dua is important. Not only that, but dua is ibadah or dua is worship. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua, the supplication, is in and of itself worship. He went on to say, "Ikhwan," that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "In calling to me, O my servant, make dua to me. Supplicate to me, and I will answer your supplication. I will answer your prayer." And he said in another ayah, "And if my servant asks you about me, O Muhammad, for verily I am close to them. I listen to the dua of the one who makes da'wah or dua. So let them also listen to me." The Shaykh went on to say that, ikhwan, the person who loves someone or something, he's always thinking about that person or that thing. So therefore, if you in fact truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would be a person who is always thinking about Him, and thus making supplication to Him, and making dua to Him. But verily, if you were to do this, as these ayahs and this hadith have explained, you will be a person who will receive, insha'Allah ta'ala, the sabat in the religion.
والدعاء يا أحبائي هو الذي أنقذ يونس من بطن الحوت. الدعاء هو الذي أنقذ إبراهيم من النار. الدعاء هو الذي ثبت محمدا وأصحابه يوم أن جمع له النار. ولكن يا أحبائي للدعاء آدابا وللدعاء شروطا وله مستحبات وله موانع يضيق الوقت عن حصرها وذكرها، ولكن أرشد أخواني إلى كتاب كتبته في هذا الباب اسمه النبذ المستطابة في الدعوات المستجابة. بينت فيه شروط الدعاء وآداب الدعاء وأوقات الدعاء وثمرات الدعاء. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن ينفع به المؤمنين.
الشيخ went on to conclude by saying the dua is what has saved the Prophet of Allah Yunus from the belly of the whale, and the dua is what has saved Ibrahim from the fire that his people threw him, and the dua is what established the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions firmly when all of the people gathered or the Ahzab gathered up together against them. He went on to say, but ikhwan, this dua or this supplication, it has its etiquette or its adab, and it has its condition, and it has its things that are highly recommendable, that which is mustahab. It has its things that prevent it from being answered. So the Shaykh said, it's impossible in this sitting to discuss all of those affairs. So therefore, what he would like to do is, he would like to guide you all to try to get his book that he wrote about the dua and its place in al-Islam, and about its etiquette and its conditions and its times and those things that will prevent it from being answered. And then he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to have mercy upon all of us and to give us success in the tasbeeh and the sabat. So now, is there time? So if you brothers have any questions, insha'Allah ta'ala, if you brothers have any time, then the floor is going to be open, the opportunity given to those who have questions, keeping in mind that we're going to give priority to the questions that are directly related to today's darb. For those of you who came in late, it is not befitting for us to come in to ask questions about things you've missed or questions of